Good evening, everyone, and welcome to O'Reilly Radio, episode 6 for Friday, May 16th, 2014, the American Spring Edition. Well, we'll get into that in a second. But you can be a part of the show by calling in to 407-222-ORLY, or that's 6759. That's 470-222-6759. Or you can go out to the website at oreillyradio.com, O-R-L-Y-radio.com, and you can join the live stream, which we've got somebody in there right now. Hi! Thanks for joining. And, of course, he's also in the IRC chat, so he gets to yell at us while we're doing the show and tells us how it is. He's already been doing that during the pre-show. Thank you very much. Okay, let's get right into it. So off the top, we've got Mr. Don Davis.
Hello.
And we've got Mr. David.
Hello.
And, of course, I'm Andy. So right off the top, there's been this very interesting faction of the Tea Party that we know and love to hate, that's been doing this thing called Operation American Spring. They were hoping to get millions, tens of millions of people to watch March on Washington today. Today, even. They've been planning it since January. Retired Colonel Harry Riley was to organize the march. And it was basically, they were going to march peacefully in and just by force of numbers, force the government to give in to their demands and basically lock up the president and the entirety of Congress and Capitol Hill.
Literally, they were going to depose the government today.
They were gonna do that today.
On a Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, there goes the weekend, right?
I know. It's ridiculous.
They didn't want to take over the weekend. I mean, I guess, but.
Don't they know that these people keep banker's hours and they were already going to be out of the office? They're already gone. Nobody's there even. But no, instead of.
Fridays anyway.
By the way, that's Anne in the background.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Hi.
So we have a peanut gallery as well as both a live stream chat and us monkeys on the microphone. So reports were coming in of how many people actually were there, and there were some very interesting folks out there. David, you had a contact in D.C.
Yeah, when I heard about this story, I was like, I got to make some phone calls. I actually lived in D.C. area, Virginia, for 2 years, so I'm like, really? Tens of millions of people were supposed to show up today and storm the White House? Well, let's find out on the day of, because I remember the whole controversy with the million biker rollout that apparently no one in D.C. saw.
No, same thing with the million trucker blockade thing that was supposed to happen, too.
Well, apparently there's about 30 truckers, so they were shy of their million truck mark by a little ways. But so I call up, and they sent me this wonderful little tidbit. So here's the full quote. I went for my run on the National Mall and can report that, although it's nowhere near the millions they predicted, a handful of motley extreme right-wing cartoon characters supposedly in town to topple the government did show up. One woman started screaming at me, "You're part of it! You're part of it!" Not sure why. I simply pointed out that she had spelled government wrong on her sign and that her apostrophe for Liars Club was in the wrong place. Although I can concede that on that last point that maybe she did mean there was just one singular liar, but I doubt it.
Nice. Nice. That's absolutely ridiculous. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, these are the people that make sure the world's tinfoil production will stay strong throughout the next century.
As well as origami skills to turn them into the lovely hats that they're wearing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On the website, doesn't it ask for calling all eagles? So they probably lost 500,000 just from that.
Well,
people figured, oh, I'm not an eagle.
Well, that's possibly true. But the other thing is they were also backing at the same time. They were going to have two simultaneous marches. One was going to be for solidarity of Clive and Bundy. Yeah, they were trying to get millions of people there. At the same time, they were going to get millions of people to march on Washington. So, okay, so there's a handful. So out of, we're going to be generous and say that they were shooting only for 10 million versus the 30 million, which, by the way, would be roughly 1 in 10 Americans was supposed to be there today. Their math is a little wrong since there's about 300 million people in the United States. So they got maybe 0.001% of their allotment. Good job, guys. Good job.
These are the people. Mathematicians first.
Yeah, math and science is not really these folks' strong point.
Well, they have problems with spelling, so.
Amongst other things. Yeah, amongst
one thing at a time.
Definitely one thing at a time. So that was.
Microsoft Word for the grammar correction.
Right?
Darn you, autocorrect. Yes.
Yes, if only there were a magical little box that you could plug things into and it could tell you the correct spelling.
Well, that would, they're not allowed to use that because that internet thing, that's filled with science devilry.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Among other things, here's another great quote from one of the people who called into it's a guy out there named Mark Connor, and he doesn't have a view of the actual mall. So the live stream, I actually watched it for a little while, is like the inside of his trailer that he's broadcasting from. And somebody called in and, you know, people are upset. They're voicing their issues. And this issue was of a particular note. I'm so fed up with the tyranny. I sold my jet ski. I'm so fed up with the way the government is manipulating the water with chemtrails. I'm afraid I can't even use my jet ski.
Oh, if we only had Laszlo on today about the chemtrails.
Oh, man. For chemtrails, go back to episode 4. Yeah. I had to look that up just because I was like, oh, man, we just talked about this.
Yeah, we did. Well, it's an absolute favorite for all the nutters out there. Just, you know, they see these streaks of cloud in the sky and they don't know what they mean. So they automatically assume conspiracy when really it's water vapor, people. That's all it is. It's just water vapor.
It's condensing around the wings and the engine.
Yeah. There's lots of reasons why these things are up there, but they're not chemtrails. They're contrails. Contrails. Yeah. So. Yeah. So we did get a little bit of feedback on that episode. Apparently we didn't go into depth as far as we went more into debunking and not actually explaining. So we should have explained a little bit more what the contrail is and what the chemtrail is, and then really kind of separate the two apart. But so that's just a little note for next time. Yes, we are listening to feedback, and we're going to try and do better for you next time. So moving into people that we are listening to, I was checking some of our statistics, and we are also out on Stitcher, and we actually have two people that have us in their show lineup. And that's gratifying. And I thank you very much. And I dedicate this show to you. Thank you so much for listening. On to the rest of the stories, since that was just part of the stuff that was coming up today, just that I couldn't ignore. It's like, what? You were supposed to depose the government today? No one told me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
That's big enough that we should at least give them a shout out and say, yep.
Exactly. Murder. Yeah. It's like, well, okay. It's just like 11th hour stuff here. So, okay. Other things that are just freaking awesome. You know what's awesome? Solar power is awesome. You know what's even more awesome? The ability to generate clean drinking water from a solar panel.
That is very cool.
That is awesome.
So IBM has done this, and it's just an amazing thing that they're claiming that their solar collectors are magnifying the sun's rays by 2,000 times. That's freaking hot. I mean, that's really freaking hot. So basically they're boiling water. I don't want to do injustice to this. The process of trapping the sunlight produces water that can be used to produce filtered drinkable water, or used for other things like air conditioning, etc. Scientists envision that the HCPVT system, or the High Concentration Photovoltaic Thermal System, could provide sustainable energy and fresh water to communities all around the world. Each 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter chip can convert 200 to 250 watts on average over a typical 8-hour day. in a sunny region. That's a lot of power.
That really is. If you look at the size of the picture on the link.
Yeah, these things are huge. So yeah, so definitely go take a look at the link on the page notes and just see the image. It's tremendously large. It's like a giant satellite dish that would be sitting in somebody's backyard, but it's bigger brother. It's really big. So
I'll put one in my backyard.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know. That's almost as big as a house.
Okay, I'll put it on my roof.
It might be the roof. Maybe if we just had that as our roof.
There you go.
That would be good. I'm really, really excited about the solar shingles that they've been continually putting out, DuPont and 3M.
Yes.
I'm really waiting for those to get down in price. But I have heard also that there's many state, county, municipalities that are falling in line with what the power regulators want, and they're charging people extra to put these on their roofs, like a little energy surcharge tax for collecting the sun.
Well, they can try to tax you for anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that we could probably argue it out to both sides, because what most of the meters that they have to put on houses now, they have to be able to feed energy back into the grid and then keep track of that and also then deduct it or completely credit it to your account.
Well, that's where they don't have to. That's where they could draw the line.
I think they do have to, based on federal regulations, thanks to all the new energy concerns that that the Obama administration has been putting out.
That must have been a change. Last time I knew they didn't have to, but if they do, then...
I don't think that they have to, but I believe that you can get it set up and they'll actually pay you for power that you generate.
Yeah, and I understand for that then, because they have to do more administration on top of everything that they already do.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think most of these things that are, quote, administration-wise, they're all done by computer anyway. It's not anybody actually doing the accounting.
Well, it's probably the call center more of people calling to complain about their power bills and
yes,
stuff.
But all of that has been outsourced to India. Hello, my name is Peggy.
Not all of it.
And even the meters now, they've put those on a wireless network, or they're a lot of meters nowadays are actually networked in, so they don't have to have a meter reader come by and look at your meter anymore to see how much power you
I think it works. The guy has come to like the edge of the street and reads like everybody's meter at once.
Yeah, it is. They still have to go around, but they only have to send one guy to drive around a neighborhood rather than walk house to house.
Yeah,
so
they've
saving a vast amount of time, but they still have to have that employee.
Yeah, you'll see like on their little like Toyota little 4Runner pickups or whatever, they've got like a white mast on the back, and that's their radio tower. So they're just driving close to the house and getting all the emissions that they need and then rolling on. So things that also have solar panels, that would be the International Space Station. It kind of relies on them, right? So
a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not the only thing that it relies on. We rely on the Russians to get the American astronauts to the space station. So you might have also heard that, Putin and Russia at large have been, trying to expand their borders and take over things that Mother Russia has kind of lost over the years.
Yeah, he's definitely putting the band back together.
Yes. Yeah. So he's basically taken over Ukraine. Things are not going so well. It's kind of going back and forth. Some of the state is really, really wanting Russia to come in because they weren't happy with the way the Ukraine was being governed on its own. And then there's the other people that say, no, keep the hell out of here. So we've got a little bit of a civil war, and that's causing all sorts of other problems. The United States, of course, has been putting sanctions against Russia for their aggressive actions against another sovereign nation. It kind of makes sense, you know, when put that way. But of course, then Russia says, well, you know, that's fine because you have contract coming up in 2020 that says, you rely on us to get you to space station. It'd be too bad if that ends, wouldn't it? So
to which we reply, SpaceX.
I hope that that's exactly what we reply. So it's definitely one of those things. We need a space program. We need reliable transit. And, well, I think the mercenaries over at SpaceX are just the guys to do it. At least
they've already docked with the ISS. There was nobody on board the capsule when it docked, but their capsule actually docked with the ISS not too long ago. The capability is there and has been proven once. They just need to work on the repeatability of that, and I think we'll pretty much be golden.
Yeah, probably happened before 2020, at least. That's still a few years off.
Yeah, it is a few years off, so it's good that we have these contracts out there. They're going to hang tight for a while.
Yes. Our IRC audience is CRS3,
which is excellent. Very good. So we have a little bit of an insider track there. So yes, apparently this is garnering some attention to SpaceX, which is very good. So made in America. We need some more of that around here.
By Americans for Americans.
Yes. And you know what else we have in America? We have some interesting headlines. We have headlines that don't exactly match the rest of the world's headlines. Same story, two different tacks. One is decidedly American and one is decidedly United Kingdom. I'm going to read, which one would you like me to read first?
Read the UK one first.
The UK headline. Sudanese woman, 27, who is a doctor and 8 months pregnant, to be flogged to death for the crime of marrying a Christian man. Of course, really, that kind of says the whole story there. It's pretty well written, I think.
Yeah.
And it tells a big tale. It tells us a lot about the woman. You know, where she's from, how old she is. Oh, she's a doctor. Oh, she's pregnant. And then, of course, what her crime is and why she, what the punishment's going to be. Now, the U.S. headline, Christian woman in Sudan sentenced to death for her faith. I'm not sure that they got the whole story there. But that's CNN.
They did condense it a great deal.
Yeah, that's CNN. That's CNN.
Both
that's
of them
not even
are
Fox.
Right.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's interesting. I've heard a lot of different takes on this over the last couple of days. So this lady,
well, either one of them.
Oh, wow. You know what? I'm going to butcher her name if I actually say it. So I'm not going to. Mariam.
It's Sudanese.
We'll call her Mariam. She's been sentenced to death for converting to Christianity to marry her Christian husband. Now, in Sudan, everyone that is born there is considered a Muslim by birth. Yeah. Therefore, if you change your faith, you are committing apostasy, and that is a punishment punishable by death.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the flogging is
she
is
was
because
charged
she's an adulterer
for marrying a Christian man.
Adulterer because Christian weddings are not recognized in Sudan.
Yeah. For marrying a Christian man and has been ordered by the courts to abandon her newly adopted Christian faith and return to Islam. During yesterday's sentencing hearing, yesterday being the 13th, Judge Albas Al-Khalafi asked the pregnant mother of one whether she would return to Islam, but of course she refused because I think she has a brain in her head. She said, I'm
well, not
Christian.
Just that. She was raised Christian.
After yes.
digging into the story, it's not – she didn't just convert to Christianity to marry this guy. She was raised Christian. Her father, who was Islamic, left when she was 6, I believe, from the story that I read. And then her mom raised her as a Christian. So
now this is interesting. I did not notice this little bit. The United States called on Sudan to respect the religious freedom guaranteed in its own constitution. So that's saying that the Sudan has a religious freedom clause somewhere in its own constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've seen in many Islamic faith-based countries, if it's not in the Quran, it's not really law. So I don't really know what to say about this other than this poor woman. She's going, she has been ordered to give birth, hand over the child to the father, who will then raise the child, and then she is to be executed.
I look at this as a cautionary tale. This is why we don't legislate here on religious principle.
Or, yeah, that's generally the idea. So.
Yeah. It's. Oh, now the actual father of the child, you know, as I was saying to be awarded over to the father. Yeah, I'm not speaking of the Christian father, you know, the actual father. No, because he's a Christian and is basically, he's also an apostate to the state. So he has no rights there either, based on what the court is saying. So if the court is indicating these things, then they're issuing the law. So whatever law they had is basically null and void at the time. I don't know. It's really sad. It's really sad, and I'm going to move away from this headline now unless there's anything else that we can talk about with it.
This is just a tragedy in action, is what that is.
Yeah, I was trying to at least spin it a little bit as, hey, look at the difference between a UK headline and a US headline.
Indeed.
At least
indeed.
There's something there. But again, it's the end of the story is that it, if you, as long as your faith was not Islam, bad things were going to happen in the Sudan. That's pretty much all there is to it. So be careful what you wish for when you're asking to legislate your religious preferences. Speaking of, we were just talking about the order that came down from the Supreme Court allowing faith-based prayer in civic functions. So, a Florida town's choice: violate the Supreme Court ruling or open a meeting with satanic prayer.
This is awesome.
it really tugs just at all the right Schadenfreude, you know, that I have in my heart. It's beautiful.
I mean, this guy, he's really in a whole roundabout way, he's really showing off. He's really putting to light what people are actually fighting for when they go to court and say, hey, we want to open town meetings with prayer because America was founded on religious principles. But we're going to use the argument of free speech, and that's how we're going to get through.
Dear city of Deerfield Beach, with the recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling allowing prayer before commission meetings and seeking the rights granted to others, I hereby am requesting I be allowed to open a commission meeting praying for my God, my divine spirit, my dude in charge. Be advised, I'm a Satanist. Let me know when this is good for you. Stevens also shared with Raw Story a request he sent to Sherry Rout, an administrative assistant with the Department of Management, to open a session of the Florida State Senate with a prayer to Satan. Good morning to you. I hope all is well. I have two items that I need assistance with. I'd like to, once again, install my PBR Festivus pole in the rotunda during the upcoming winter holiday season. Two, given the recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling, the city of Greece, New York, versus New York, I would like to open up a session with a prayer to my God, Satan. Kindly advise me how to seek approval for that. I love this guy's style. I really do.
He's playing the system.
He's
allowed. So.
And I don't have it here, but I'll see what I can do about pulling it up someplace, sometime. But he actually has written out the whole, you know, opening prayer, and it's really pretty good. If it didn't have Hail Satan at the end, you know, you wouldn't really bat an eyelash at it.
No, that's the point. You don't want to go too overboard. He's trying to make a point without overdoing it, but it's making a point.
Well, he's doing it very tongue in cheek because he knows that humor is the dividing line. Humor will make everything palatable in some respect. learning from the great comedians of our age. But then he gets serious eventually and says, I just want equal billing. We allow various religious nutjobs to give a prayer. They pray to Jesus, who is a make-believe God. God, who is make-believe. Why not Satan, who is make-believe? So really, he doesn't believe in it. He's just doing it as a show. And that's really, that's what we need right now. We need somebody to show how ludicrous this is. I'd love somebody to go up there and also offer a prayer to the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Because it needs to be done. His noodly appendage shall touch us all.
Indeed, indeed. Ramen.
Ramen. Yes. So, continuing on now with politics and religion, because obviously they are far too interwoven in this country. Roy Moore, he is the Chief Justice in Alabama, and he's a real special kind of guy. Real special. He said, let's get real. Let's learn our history. Let's stop playing games. Oh, okay. All right. Let's listen. Everybody, to include the United States Supreme Court, has been deceived as to one little word in the First Amendment called religion, he said. They can't define it. Oh, okay, you have our attention. Carry on. They don't want to do that because that acknowledges the Creator God, he said. Buddha didn't create us. Muhammad didn't create us. It's the God of the Holy Scriptures. What? So, according to Moore, the government and the Supreme Court should define religion as James Madison and George Mason did. The, quote, the duties we owe to the Creator and the manner of discharging it. They didn't bring a Quran on the pilgrim ship Mayflower. He said, let's get real. Let's learn our history. Let's stop playing games. So he's basically discounting all other religions except for Christianity. He's being a ruthless Christian.
This is how apostate laws come into being. just throwing that out there. And as for, just to put a little, spin on this, James Madison, one of the founders, here's a quote from him. He felt that there was no need for government to advocate religion of any type, especially the one of the Christian Bible. Here's the actual quote. To say it is a contradiction to the Christian religion itself. For every page of it disavows the dependence on the powers of this world.
Hmm.
You are a Christian. You are not dependent upon the powers of this world to give you rights. So.
Yeah. Now, I don't really have a problem with most of America thinking this way. And depending on which research survey you're listening to, there's a pretty good percentage that do. I don't really have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when someone puts on the nice silky black robe and is then in charge of metering out justice to people. It has been my thorough impression that the government should not play favorites where it comes to religion, because by doing so, you automatically disenfranchise groups of people, not a group of people, but large swaths of the population. And we are a melting pot. We have every religion on the planet represented somewhere in the United States.
Well, over 100 different faiths are represented here.
Yeah. That's... And that's lumping everybody that's a pagan into one category.
That's not getting picky.
Yeah. That's not even getting picky. I mean, when we really think about it, there's over 3,000 different belief systems that we've really categorized. You know, a lot of them, certainly they're well marginalized by this point, but you can't do this kind of thing. And I certainly hope that he loses his bench very soon, because this kind of thing, to go out and say it as a man on the street with a bullhorn standing on a soapbox, that's one thing. But when he's behind a bench wearing a robe, that's something completely different.
Yeah, he's influencing basically legal precedent and issuing decisions from the bench based on, you know, if you are of this faith, God and myself will smile upon you, basically.
And
that's not right.
No.
That he can also be holding people's lives in his hands in one way, shape, or form based on his faith. So he may not look highly upon other religions. There's always that possibility.
Well, so, it's obvious that he doesn't think very
highly. He doesn't look highly upon other religions.
Oh, no, that's understood. But then his whole point about being behind the bench is to be fair and unbiased, and he clearly has a bias.
Yeah, that's what, if you go into a courtroom, I mean, don't even think about it as anybody else. Think about yourself going before this guy and wanting a fair shake, because it's supposed to be you present evidence, the other guy presents evidence, and the guy that has the better evidence for their story wins. That's justice, right?
Theoretically.
Yeah, you know, theoretically, that's the basics of our justice system. And he's basically saying, well, if your evidence happens to be that you're a Buddhist and that this guy's a Christian, sorry, you're SOL, because I'm going to go with him every time. And that's just horrible.
A little wrong.
Yeah, I would call for a mistrial every single time.
Yeah.
And I hope that people do. But, of course, then there's so many people out there that they can't even afford the one trial that they're in, much less a mistrial and then having to do it all again.
Is he in the Alabama Supreme Court?
Yes.
They can take it up to the federal Supreme Court. Basically, any judgment that this guy issues, as soon as he, you know, inputs religion into it, they can bring this up to a higher level.
Yeah, but as we've seen, oh, actually, you know what? This is a great another great segue here. Do you know the demographics of our Supreme Court as far as their faith preferences?
Not in regards to their faith preferences.
Okay. It's an interesting little survey kind of thing here. Only two religions are present. Only two preferences are present among the nine justices.
Let me guess, they're both fairly similar?
No, not exactly. But neither one is a grand percentage of the country. Neither one.
You have
three of the Jewish faith, and the other are all Catholics.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't that interesting? out of the Jewish population, that's about 1.5% of the U.S. population. Of the U.S. population, it's about 15-18% is Catholic.
Okay.
Numbers. Yeah. It's definitely not a representative sample. And of course, of the supreme chief arch conservatives, as they've been labeled recently, yeah, guess what? They're all the Catholics. Every last one of them. So to take this guy up to the highest court in the land.
It'll probably be a 5-4 decision, like a lot of them have.
Yeah,
it really well
may be a 5-4 decision, which is disturbing. And there was a petition going around at least suggesting a 12-year term limit for Supreme Court justices. I think that's a great idea. There's a lot of people that have other ideas, and I encourage the discussion about it, and we really ought to talk about it more, about getting term limits on these people and saying, you know, you can't be in there forever.
Every level of government should have term limits.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be one that is, oh yeah, okay, you're in there for the rest of your life.
Yeah, Strom Thurmond. How long was Strom Thurmond in there?
Till he died.
Yeah. And even after he died, you know, if we look at, what was the Eddie Murphy movie? The Distinguished Gentleman? You know, he was elected because of his name.
Yeah.
Because his name was the same as the guy who died in office.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not even that far-fetched.
No.
It could happen.
There was people on ballots around here that were previous, the same name. I forget who it was, but
there was someone that had died who was still on the ballot and won.
Yep. That was over. Wasn't that over here in Central Florida? That was
yeah.
Over
it was in lovely Florida, of course.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't it be?
Because almost all the crazy news in the United States happens in Florida.
Not all of it.
That's true. Of the crazy people moved to Florida.
This is true. Yes. I think the heat's gotten to them. Yes. I really must be. Must be that.
Well, maybe it's just the humidity. Because there's heat at West.
Yes, that's true. That's true. The humidity. Maybe too many lightning strikes or something.
There you go.
So let's see. We've got other stories. The NSA. Of course, we know about the Snowden leaks because they've been unavoidable and have touched many of our lives and are continuing to touch our lives with the way they reshape our government and actually all of the world with how these, as they've come out, they've realized, wait, you've been spying on everyone? Like, no, everyone? Really? Even Brazil was saying that service providers can't, like Google or Microsoft, have to operate a data center within their own country borders to avoid the snooping from the NSA. And so, I mean, we've had a lot of really ground-shaking changes that have emerged from these terrible leaks that have come out. And whatever you think of Snowden, the information really did need to get out there because the things that were going on were wrong. So Glenn Greenwald, who is the journalist that was entrusted with all of the leaks, he's been the one that's been trickling them out a little bit at a time. And in a recent interview, he said the biggest NSA leaks are yet to come. What are the implications of that? What do you
There's
think?
Something bigger than they're literally, they literally have a copy ongoing right now of what we're talking about right now.
Well, that wouldn't.
There's something bigger than that.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't surprise me. Of course, that is pretty much what they do. That's what we've
It's
already
hard
been
to
told.
Imagine.
Yeah. And I encourage everyone, if they don't know about the NSA leaks, the Snowden leaks, as they've been labeled, you need to look into it. You really do, because it wasn't just a matter of them being in bed with the telecommunications industry, as we kind of figured that they were, you know, the secret rooms inside of AT&T where things were split off. It went even deeper than that. A lot of consumers were also thinking, well, that they were also working with Google and Microsoft to snoop on all their users. That's not actually the case. What they did was they put in a fiber optic splitter in between their data centers and siphoned off every packet of data that came in and out. Completely illegally wiretapping in between data centers, because it was assumed that the data center connection between data centers, because what they have is they have colo facilities, co-locations, where you'll have one provider location with a lot of servers, and then you'll have another in another geographic area, and those are connected by a dedicated network connection, often fiber, so that they can have a high bandwidth secure connection. It was assumed, because they were leasing a individual line, that it was going to be secure. Well, it was from the internet, but it wasn't from a mirror. When they put a prism in, that was the name of the program, they basically put a prism in and split the light.
Literally.
Yeah. So they were siphoning it all off. Now, Google was pissed about this, to say it lightly. So they are now encrypting the data in between data centers, even on their own leased lines and everything. So no data leaves Google without being encrypted. Now, you're probably equally wondering, okay, well, what about all the stuff that they hold themselves? Well, that's kind of up in the air, because they are doing screen scrapes and character recognition and all the OCR on everything that you do, so that they can target ads to you. Now, it's not like somebody in a corner office eating Cheetos reading your mail. That's not the way it happens. There's just a computer algorithm that's looking at everything and looking, say, okay, oh, there's this number of word preference in this email. They are probably interested in this. And okay, do we have, yes, we have an advertiser with that and they've requested so many impressions. Okay. And we'll go ahead and put that up there in a nice little banner somewhere on one of our properties that this user will see. That's how it works.
I've been watching a nice little ad pop up now and again for flooring, because I've been looking for flooring once in a while.
See? Yeah.
The past few months.
and people get creeped out because of this invasion of privacy. But it's not really an invasion of privacy. Not really. I mean, sure, it can be private information that you're looking for, but the internet itself is not exactly a private medium.
Yeah, nothing on the internet is private.
Yeah.
And your privacy goes out the window as soon as you log on.
Yeah, in many, many, many ways. You can go, you have to go out of your way to be private. One thing that they do, what was it? I just lost my train of thought. It just ran right away. I hate it when that happens.
Ran off the tracks.
Well, one of the ironies here is that if I understand the NSA Prism program, they're basically doing this, a very similar thing. They're just doing it in a very shady way.
Yeah.
They're copying everything that happens on the internet, and then they're searching the data for stuff that happens or stuff that's of interest to them. Like if somebody takes a sudden interest in how to sabotage planes, they will be wanting to talk to that person.
Yeah, but everything that they're doing, nothing is proactive. They have to be completely reactionary based on the amount of data that they've received. You know, they can't be looking ahead in a thought crime minority report kind of way.
Yet.
Yeah, I suppose yet. But it's just so much data. I mean, it's mind melting how much data is on the internet every single day. And
how much of it changes. How much new data goes across.
It's going up. It's new data. I'm not even talking about old data. But every year, I think the statistic, I'll have to look at it and don't quote me on this, but the amount of data on the internet is like quadrupling every single year. So if there's 100 terabytes this year, it'll be 400 terabytes next year.
And that's just an example.
And that's just an example. Because there's
the year after that.
Yeah. So on and so forth, exponential increases here. So that's why they have these enormous server farms out in God knows where. Actually, you could probably ask Google. They'll probably tell you exactly where the NSA data centers are.
Because but not theirs.
No.
Good luck storming the castle.
Google's data centers are actually fairly open because they actually offer tours and they're very proud of the way they set up their environmental systems and how they cool things. And they did have their actual server architecture, the way they build their boxes. That was proprietary and kept secret for a long time, but even that's leaked out now and they're kind of proud of that too.
I would still assume that Google, as a large company that it is, would probably have at least one mirrored server farm that's not known and somewhere out of the reach of most people.
Well, Google, I didn't mean to get into Google itself, but Google has a lot of interesting projects coming out of their X project area. Yeah, I can't remember the exact name of the department, but
we'll hit those on a future episode. Yeah, I'm sure.
And these are things like Project Loon, where they're lofting large weather balloons over areas to deliver internet access.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in basically underdeveloped countries.
Yeah. The goal of these large companies that are all about advertising is to get as many eyeballs on their product as possible. That's why the product is free. In fact, now I remember where my mind derailed there for a second. If you're not paying for the product, then you are what's being sold. Just wrap your head around that. if you're getting something for free, someone is profiting on you getting it.
Yeah.
Advertisement.
Yeah. And that's what
if
they
you're
do.
Not paying for the service, you are the product.
That's right.
Merchandising.
Where the real money is made, yes. That is how it is. So don't be surprised that these companies, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, any of them, are going to be trying to target advertising to you. And they want to target it to you so that it's interesting and relevant to you, so that you'll click it and use it, because then they get paid more. It is logic. It's complete logic. They're not after you. They're not creating a giant database on you to spy on you. They just want to sell you shit. That's all it is.
Somebody else wants to know about you.
Yes, that would be the NSA. And obviously all the data mining that has been done by these companies is valuable information, which is why, of course, the PRISM project was developed and why it went on for as long as it did. Mm-hmm. But there's another podcast out there on the twit.tv network called Security Now with Steve Gibson. And I highly recommend anybody that's interested in the way our world is put together digitally, with security and how the internet's put together, and especially the Snowden leaks and the way the architecture is handled. I highly recommend going through and perusing at least his show notes. He's done a tremendous job with them. And has really helped me understand what's at stake and where we're vulnerable and how bad it is. It's pretty bad, but it's creating a lot of attention that is needed on the products. So probably in the next year, maybe two, probably even Gmail will be encrypted point to point. Which needs to happen.
That is kind of in question, because we've got computers now that can crack the encryptions so fast. It's absurd.
No, we can't. If the encryption is done properly, the math mm-hmm. works, and it's hard. It takes a long time to break really solid encryption. It's when the NSA puts in a backdoor into the encryption protocols that it's really easy. Like,
we've got quantum computers.
No, we don't.
That can do it. Yeah, we do.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
No, we do not have an entire quantum computer. We have some quantum circuits.
We've got entire quantum computers. Lockheed has one in Florida.
Okay, we'll talk about that next week.
Yes, sir.
There's a tease for you. I got to hear about this one. Okay. So the biggest leaks are yet to come. So this is going to share some it's going to mold our environment so much. So stay tuned. It'll be an interesting, bumpy ride. So things that have been interesting and bumpy. Nature is apparently adapting to Chernobyl. We kind of knew that was going to happen, didn't we? At least those that have been paying attention to the way the world actually adapts to the things that we've done to it.
Those who understand nature realize that when we talk about things destroying the world will probably go on after us.
Yes. Definitely.
You're killing the planet. You're killing the planet. No, you're not. You're not killing the planet. You're killing the species on it, which would be us. The planet's just going to keep going, and it'll
cycle around new types of life and whatnot. It might not be an environment that we can live in as people, but
yeah.
Yeah,
the world will keep turning.
Care.
Timothy Musso, I don't know what he was doing, but he was walking through a few miles west of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, and he had a Geiger counter out and was showing 25 microsieverts an hour being absorbed by the environment, and there was a spider web on a tree. Spiders are apparently not adversely affected, or at least they've adapted to the environment. There's mushrooms. Of course, plant life flourishes wherever there's a crack in the ground.
Yeah. This is actually one story I read the other day, and it's actually fairly impressive. They are finding some some defects happening in animals, like some extra tumors and stuff like that. But in most cases, there are birds that are adapting, that have adapted to the radiation. They've changed accordingly. I think that's one of the things they appear to
have adapted to the radioactive environment by producing higher levels of protective antioxidants.
Yeah, exactly.
Which correspond to less genetic damage. And that was just in the bird population, which is known for a highly productive cycle and generational advancement. My brain has stopped working.
But birds are also very sensitive to changes in environment. So the fact that that's why they quickly adapt is, I guess, the reason for why they quickly adapt is because they are so sensitive to environmental changes.
Canary.
So.
Yeah, the good old canary in a coal mine kind of thing.
They
are rather sensitive to environmental conditions and they can die. They can die real easy. But obviously, if they're in an environment long enough with enough generations to make their evolutionary advancements, nature finds a way, to quote.
Life found a way.
Yes, to quote Crichton there. So. There may be hope for Chernobyl yet. Of course, they're still putting in a giant radiation arch that should be in by 2017 to shelter the leftovers of the Chernobyl reactor.
That's interesting how they're going to have people there. They're probably going to have to work people in cycles because that looks like it'll take a long time to install. But they're not allowed to. Nobody's allowed to be in that area for more than a certain amount of time, and I forget what amount of time that was.
Well, actually, they're building it a ways away from the reactor.
Yes.
And basically upwind.
Yeah, but my point is, when they physically have to take it there, it is still going to take a fair number of people a fair amount of time to get it installed.
Well, Russia is really good at building really big things. They like building big things, big airplanes, big helicopters, giant arches. So they're probably going to use some of these technical advancements that they've gone large on and probably tow it into place.
Yeah.
Because it is a mobile arch, so it's the largest mobile structure ever made by man. So it'll be interesting, and of course, assuming that we're all around in 3 years, we'll see it happen.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. It is pretty massive.
Yeah. But I don't think it's bulletproof. We'll see how it goes. But
it's radiation proof.
I don't know if it's radiation proof either. I'm kind of still wondering. It's like, isn't it just a giant steel dome?
I don't see how
that's going to work, but you know.
It's not that radiation in and of itself just flies out everywhere. I think what they're mainly building this thing for is basically the sarcophagus that they created originally. Yeah. Is crumbling. And if it collapses inside, there will be a huge dust plume that will emerge from this. And I think that basically this arch will seal that dust plume in so that it doesn't go up into the atmosphere and create fallout.
So it's to protect the protective layer.
It's an extra protective layer, yeah.
They should just start making more of these for other locations in the world.
Then. Right? Just as a preventative measure?
Yeah. They might as well just make them and put them over every nuclear plant just because.
Just in case.
Industry for Russia.
Well, the 32,000-ton arch is going to cost $1.5 billion. So I don't think it's really necessarily a cost-beneficial situation to just have one.
Right, and it's also
one available.
It's not necessarily going to work for every reactor, such as the Fukushima reactor when it exploded.
Yeah. Of course, really the biggest problem with the Fukushima is all the water just taking the radioactive material out to sea. And apparently, I saw an article today, I didn't do any research on it, but apparently a lot of the bluefin tuna that are being caught in the Pacific are radioactive.
Yeah,
it's really affecting the fishing industry. And, I like fish. Fish is good.
Yeah.
I don't really want to die from eating fish or get sick.
You can still eat carp. It's a lot of that is farmed inland, so.
That's true. Yeah. So it's all going to be farm-raised tilapia for me.
There we go.
So let's see, David. You had an interesting story.
You want to hit South Carolina?
Yeah,
hit South Carolina.
Let's go to South Carolina.
Let's talk about South Carolina, then. Let me paint a picture for everybody out here. Let's imagine that you are at home. It's Tuesday night / Wednesday morning, about 2 a.m., and you're in your garage with 8 to 10 of your friends, and you guys are talking about whatever. So it comes up that you, I believe it was the owner of the home, have a bulletproof vest. And you guys get to talking about it, and that's cool and all, and you decide, for whatever reason, that you're going to test this vest at 2:45 a.m. on a Wednesday with your friends in your garage. And you don't do the sensible thing. You don't put it on a tree stump. You know, you don't set it up with some sandbags. You put it on your person. And then you hand a firearm to an 18-year-old girl.
Taylor
and say,
Kelly,
shoot me. Well, that happened. That happened, and she missed. And he's dead.
Yeah.
So,
18-year-old Taylor Ann Kelly fired a shot at Wardell's chest, but missed the Kevlar.
She missed the Kevlar. And it's a sad story. It's kind of funny in a way, but it's gallows humor for sure.
It is definitely gallows humor. Yeah.
And like her mugshot in the article, you know, she's just kind of dumbstruck that this is happening.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if she's dumbstruck or has been struck dumb, but one way or another.
There was a serious case of the dumb going around in that garage that night.
Amazingly enough, deputies said they found no evidence of heavy alcohol or drug use.
Yes. So this was just pure idiocy.
Yeah.
Like,
this is
in
just
its purified, concentrated form.
Yeah.
Add water before ingesting.
So a 26-year-old guy is probably trying to get this this Taylor L. and Kelly, probably trying to get in her pants. Yeah. Just thinking. Maybe along those lines, you know, and says, hey, I got a bulletproof vest. I'm going to let you shoot me. Nice little trust building exercise. Yeah. Let's try that. Might have not considered that she didn't score the highest in Duck Hunt.
Well, there's that. And I mean, it's like, you know,
she's 18. She didn't play Duck Hunt.
That's true.
Here's the gun owner's take on this thing. You know, depending upon the vests, which you can buy, they're out there, and there's various different types. Yes, they stop bullets. Not all of them really disperse the impact. So while she may have shot him, may have hit the Kevlar, and it won't kill him, it could still break his ribs.
Yeah.
That's not a real happy ending for that either, when you have to explain to the paramedics in the hospital how it was you got shot with 8 to 10 people around, and then somebody's going away for reckless discharge of a firearm.
It's a remarkable situation.
Yeah, there's just no good way for this to end.
It's definitely gallows humor, because I'm finding it really amusing, and I don't really know why.
This proves Darwin's theory.
Yes, yes. Darwin Award for sure.
For our species, it's survival of the smartest. And these people weren't them.
Yeah.
It's that guy.
Yeah. Just terrible. Absolutely terrible. But now this leads into probably one of the bigger stories that we're going to have this year. And that is Boko Haram and the kidnapping of hundreds of girls from a school in Nigeria. So this has been all over everybody's news feeds, and I didn't really want to hit it because of the nature of it. It's not really a funny story. It's really terrible. But it's been in the news for so long that I can't avoid it, and nobody really should avoid it. So the Nigerian president, they were trying to not bring this up and trying to kind of slip it under the rug for a long time, a couple weeks. And then they couldn't do it anymore. And there are areas of Nigeria that are completely outside of the government's control. So they can't physically go get them because it's too dangerous.
But apparently Israel has offered its services.
Well, Israel was one of the latest to step up. Apparently the United States, I've got it on good authority from an insider that the United States Army is already helping and already has retrieved, I think, at least a dozen girls.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And also taken a few of the Boko Haram, into custody as well. So I don't know, what kind of persuasive tactics are still being employed by the U.S. military overseas when dealing with terrorist threats. But I'm sure that they are all being used right now. So, so I don't know about, how optimistic we should really be about finding these girls, but if anybody has, taken the time to watch the video of the leader of the Boko Haram basically say about selling the girls and about Allah's telling him to do it, basically. I mean, it's not something that is negotiable. It's not something that you can really say, no, you misunderstood what he was really saying. No, it was pretty plain. Over and over and over again. Like in one sentence, he'll repeat the same thing like a dozen times. So he's not exactly the most eloquent public speaker, but, him with 30 guys behind him all, you know, strapping AK-47s, with many, young girls, of course, in, you know, covering gowns, hijabs, or I'm not sure what they're calling that particular vestment over there. And saying that he's going to sell them and that Allah is directing him to do it. And what more can you really say about that? He's not going to give them back. It's kind of a religious crusade. He feels completely justified in all of it because of his belief, being told to do it.
Human trafficking and sex trade have been around for a long time. And it's really kind of a shame that, you know, that's not in really the top 10 issues we think about here in the United States, that, you know what, this is the injustice that we should really fight. Nobody should be bought and sold.
No.
That's been figured out in other countries.
Yeah, I think by and large, the humanity has figured out that slavery is a bad thing. I think we've pretty much reached that conclusion as a species. For the most part.
For the most part.
Yeah. There are obviously certain cells that would disagree with that and would much prefer to go their own way. And they're going to look for any justification to do it. Now, the amazing thing is they're asking really a small amount of money in sale for these women. I mean, literally, it was like $20 each. I'll chip in a few bucks. Just buy them from them.
Just buy them back?
Just buy them back and then kill them all. Then kill all the Boko Haram. No, I'm kidding about that. Imprison them all.
No, they're probably going to die given the amount of attention and the fact that, you know, Israel's going to chip in and we're chipping in people. That means that we've got some scary motherfuckers.
Yeah, we already have drones in the air that are doing surveillance of the entire country. All those areas where you'd have, you know, that the Lion King scene where it's like, and that shadowy place over there. No, yeah, we're going to send drones over there and we're going to bomb it from orbit. You know, that's pretty much what the U.S. military does now.
And Israel,
you're scared to go in there, or you say it's dangerous in there. We've got a guy.
I got a bunch of guys that are willing to go in there.
We'll go in there.
Yes.
They're all gonna take care of your little problem. There might be fewer people in there next time you go.
And all of our guys are going to stay probably in the States at home.
Well, no, no. There's a bunch that are being deployed on the ground.
Well, and I'm not just saying with the drones.
The drones can be piloted from anywhere, a lot of them.
Yeah, and they will. They certainly will.
But I was going to say, U.S. and Israel working together. I mean, cats and dogs getting along. And
pandemonium.
Well, no, remember, the United States is still the biggest supporter of Israel. So it's not really cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria. Yeah, it's none of that. But it is definitely one for the record books as far as a cooperative engagement. But I think we can always count on, I'm sorry, you did what to young female children? Oh, yeah, we got people.
Yeah.
So, don't mess with children. Don't mess with girls. Don't mess with girl children. I mean, it's just a bad thing to do.
It pisses people off.
It does. It does. I mean, the worst offenders in every prison population are always going to be the child molesters.
They should, the ones that they capture, they should just bring over and throw in United States prisons.
Yeah, they don't get a welcome committee. Well, they do get a welcome
committee. They get a welcome committee.
It's not friendly.
No. It's not pretty at all. It's not pretty. What I find amazing about the story is that such a group can exist. That Boko Haram is somehow, it has a place in the world.
To me, that's the natural conclusion of anarchy, is that you get a local militant overlord. And what they decide is law, and that's not always good, to put it mildly.
That's for sure. It's definitely not a good situation, and hopefully it's all put to rest sooner than later. Yeah. Anyway, what else can we say about
it? Yes.
So
I think we might not hear from this guy ever again fairly soon.
Yeah, but
especially if Israel's involved, because they just leave bodies.
That's true. They don't.
That's not a lot how of, they deal.
Yeah, not a lot of quarter is offered.
Oh, you do wicked shit. We've got the cure for that.
We have ways. We have ways. So, yeah, whatever you want to say about Israel, talking about their military forces and the way they operate is quite another thing. They are very adept at their jobs.
Yeah.
So I think that's enough politics. That's enough religion. Let's talk about some fun stuff. So we've turned our entertainment section more into kind of a reviews and picks section. So of course, that's kind of entertaining. So it falls into the same section. So I've got two books today that I wanted to offer up to our listeners. And they are both from Peter F. Hamilton. They're in the Commonwealth series. So it's a two-part series. And it's Pandora's Star and Judas Unchained. I don't want to give too much away. And I could talk for hours about this little series because it's such an in-depth, rich world based on a possible future, if we could ever get the technology right to do it. Of humanity. There's a lot of implications that just made my brain just do flip-flops all over the place, just trying to wrap my head around how would that be? If I was in that kind of situation, how would this be for me?
And you made it very realistic. I mean, it seemed like, oh, yes, I could see myself commuting between worlds.
It's a very well thought out series. It's very detail oriented. Right when you're trying to figure out, wait, how did they do that? It gets explained. it's a really just well-written series. And if you listen to them on Audible, the reader is just outstanding. He has a rich, it's another British reader, which I love to listen to the Brits, read nearly anything because it just somehow it, I don't know. I guess I fall into that stereotype. You know, it means more when it's read in a British accent. I don't know why, but that just seems to be the way it is. But in Pandora's Star, we are introduced to a new method of expanding humanity between worlds. There's a couple guys, a couple researchers, they develop wormhole technology. And they use these wormholes to connect the planets. And you'd expect somehow that just cars would like drive through the wormholes and everything. But no. It's more romantic than that. They have trains. They have trains running between worlds.
Nice.
How awesome.
On schedule.
On schedule, yeah. How awesome is that?
See, I like the opening. I don't know if that's really a spoiler. The first chapter shows them in the process of landing on Mars, getting to Mars, landing, and then having a, was it MIT? What was, oh no, it was the space.
I think it was Berkeley. I think that they were students at California. Berkeley or something. Yeah.
Berkeley, and then somebody showing up in a homemade spacesuit on Mars through a wormhole.
I think we can definitely say that because I think I saw that picture actually like on the jacket of the book. So I think we're okay with at least disclosing some of those spoilers. But
the first chapter is generally readable like in Amazon or something. So.
Yeah, it escalates from there. There are some characters that will just blow your mind. The depth and thought and the way their stories interconnect is just unbelievable. And if you like this series and you haven't quite had enough of the characters in the universe, it gets expanded even further with the Void trilogy. It's amazing. It's really just he's a fantastic author, and these are great stories, and I can't say enough about him. I'm going to provide a couple links so that you can go take a look for yourselves in the show notes, and those are my picks.
I agree with those. I've already listened to them two or three times now. And they're long too. They're long in a good way because they're good, and you don't want them to end at that point because they're interesting.
Yeah, I've listened to them several times, and I'm actually listening to them one more time, which is why they ended up in my picks. So
I'll have to check that out. It sounds very compelling. I put in a pick there for, and this will be in the show notes as well. Stormfront, the Dresden Files, Book One. If you're familiar with the Dresden Files, it's a fantastic series. If you're not familiar with the Dresden Files,
it's a fantastic series.
It's a fantastic series. Just, I've gotten to book 11, and there's actually a couple books that have come out since that I've got to get into.
Well, give them a quick rundown. Who is Harry Dresden?
Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden, and he is a private investigator / wizard. For real wizard, like actually blowing things up with magic kind of wizard. And he lives in basically what is modern day Chicago. They tackle a lot of real world stuff. So Chicago PD has a special investigations units that he's very much friends with because they deal with stuff that cannot be explained. It's sort of X-Files type stuff, but from the perspective of an actual wizard who does a lot of stuff. Finds a lot of things, handles a lot of bad guys that can't just be handled through normal means. they are fun books. He was a new author when he wrote the first book, so it's a little shaky at times, but if you get past the first book and the second book, his writing just keeps getting better and better and better. And by the time you reach book 11, you're so invested in the characters that it's inevitably things happen, and it's just really painful sometimes to read bad things happening to your favorite people. But they are of such depth and so well written, and the stories are so well played out that I have not yet predicted accurately the ending of a book before it happened. So I just really love those books. They're fun to read.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick. And of course, that's a nice long series too. So should you not listen to anything else that we say, you've at least got plenty of things that you can keep yourself entertained with between Peter F. Hamilton and all the Dresden Files. So then there's one other that you mentioned in pre-show that blew my mind. And I'm an old movie buff. I've got a lot of old movies on the shelf, but I had never heard of The Conqueror, 1956, John Wayne.
John Wayne is Genghis Khan.
Is Genghis Khan. That, it kind of blows my mind. I'm gonna leave the leave that link in the show notes just so that everyone else can have their mind blown, because I always thought he was just a Western guy. I never thought that I would ever see the day when John Wayne would dress up as a Chinese.
It's
I didn't, it is something didn't think to that watch. Was gonna happen.
It happened.
Yeah, released March 28th, 1956 in the USA. It's approximately 111 minutes, and wow. Mongol
Grab
chief.
Grab some beer, get some friends.
Wow. So on that bombshell, I think that that's a perfect place to end the show. Thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you back here next Friday about the same time, about 9:30.
Before we end.
Yeah.
I actually have to issue a little bit of an update in regards to the Dragon spacecraft. Well, I had mentioned that it docked with the International Space Station once. It's actually docked 3 times with the International Space Station. And it's going to dock a 4th time later this year. So.
Yeah, these are the unmanned supply missions, aren't they?
What's that?
They're the unmanned robotic supply missions, I think.
Yes. But it is in the Dragon capsule, which, if I'm not mistaken, is capable of being manned. So.
I think it's capable, but I don't think it's been,
it hasn't been proven.
Outfitted for the, yeah, it hasn't been approved, but it's capable. Yeah. I know that there were, yeah, our chat room saying, yes, it's a resupply. So excellent. But I think that there are plans, or at least backup plans, that should it be there as opposed to just carrying waste back to planet Earth, it can be used also as kind of a life raft if need be. It is man-rated, although not outfitted as such, so it would be a very bumpy ride should they need to get out. But there's plenty of other things involved with SpaceX and the International Space Station and NASA and all these world politics that we will address in future shows. So please go out to orellyradio.com, orellyradio.com, and send us an email, give us a call, participate on the page. Comment, go out to our Facebook, our Twitter, listen to us on Stitcher, like us on Facebook, and hit iTunes, leave us a rating. Nobody's done that yet. Basically, hey, communicate. This is your show too. Go ahead, tell us what you want to hear and participate, like Jason has in the chat room. Thank you very much for being a part of the show, Jason, and everybody that has already added us on their Stitcher playlist. So. Thank you very much, and we will see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Yep. Remember, we record Friday nights around 9 p.m. Eastern, or 10 p.m. Eastern, depending.
Well, we start about 9, and then about an hour later, after we've gotten all the kinks out of our giddy-up, we finally actually hit record. So you can listen to us have all of our all of our technical difficulties trying to get the live stream up and make sure that everything's working, check levels, talk to our significant others, and make sure that everything works. So,
and yeah. About the tasty chicken, so.
Yes, tasty chicken, feeding it to the cats and things like that, yeah. See what you're missing? There's so much. You just don't know. Jason knows. So, thanks very much, and we'll see you next week.